Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Branson Bello.
Amen. All right, so today we're going to be teaching on the subject that I've called dealing with condemnation. So can we say that together, dealing with condemnation? All right. To take a text from Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Can we all read the scripture together? I think it's a beauty when we're able to read the scriptures together. So we're going to read it from the beginning to the end. My particular emphasis is from the verse 1, then perhaps verse 34. But let's just read all the way down. It's okay to read. Is that fine? All right, so let's go. One to go. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead would also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Who is excited about this? Come on. Are you tired? All right, let's do it. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with breath pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Oh. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who dies. And furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. Now, talking about dealing with condemnation. The verse 1 of this chapter says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And the voice of condemnation is the voice that speaks defeat, that speaks to your failure, that speaks to your past, especially your bad past, that makes you tied to all the negatives. Condemnation is always a voice. Condemnation works through a voice. And a lot of times, you might be thinking it in your head, but hear me, it is a voice speaking to you. And the way you respond to thoughts is not by just thinking. You respond to thoughts by speaking. Because thinking is talking in your head. So how you deal with a thought is by speaking, by talking back. And today in the body of Christ, a lot of people are plagued with the spirit of condemnation. And I'm going to show you very few examples of how condemnation would manifest in the lives of people. And in verse 33 of this same chapter, it's very particular. It speaks also to the fact that you are not condemned. It says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who shall bring a charge? It is God who justifies. It means that the prerogative for the one who condemns is the one who has justified. It has to be on the one who justified. If you didn't justify me, you can't condemn me. If no one justified you, then no one can condemn you. And it's important to understand this. Then the next verse says, go to the next verse, verse 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. So it means the only one who can condemn is the one who died. If you didn't die, if you didn't justify me, if you were not the one whose blood was shed, then you have no right to condemn anyone. Neither does anyone have a right to condemn you. And furthermore, is also reason who is given at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So the one who is supposed to condemn us is the one who approves us. What a beauty we have in Christ. The one who is supposed to look at us, because he's the one who was perfect, is the one who looks at you and says, you are accepted in the beloved. So we're accepted in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The primary assignment of Satan is the ministry of condemnation. Please hear me. Satan's most powerful and potent assignment is to condemn. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, we see the ministry of Satan. As much as God in Christ Jesus is a ministry, there is also a ministry that Satan runs by, and that's the ministry of condemnation. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren. So you see, Satan is called accuser because he's the one who stands, all right? He has come, the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night. Hear me. If Satan doesn't work with condemnation in the morning, he will try in the night. If he doesn't work in the night, he will try in the morning again. The voice of condemnation will always come, but you must be equipped to refute the voice of condemnation because you are accepted in the beloved. So the ministry of Satan is the opposite of the ministry of Christ. God's adversary, Satan, loves to promote a message of condemnation because it is the exact opposite. Look at John chapter 3, verse 16. It's a common scripture we all read growing up back in the days. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But you know, this is not all. The next verse, verse 17, says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. So the ministry of Jesus is not to condemn the world, but Satan's ministry is to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So the Spirit of Christ is to save, not condemn. Are you with me, somebody? Then verse 18 of the next verse, it says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The heritage given to every servant of God is one of overcoming a spirit of condemnation through the gift of grace. So the gift of grace puts you in the position where you overcome condemnation. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17. It is your heritage that you are able to overcome condemnation. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue in which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. So when condemnation comes at you, you condemn condemnation. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. It means the reason why you can condemn condemnation is because you are righteous in Christ. And the righteousness is a gift, says the Lord. Let's see the NLT version of this same verse. If you have it, the NLT version says, but in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. Who says amen to that? Now, he says, you will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken it. So there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. The spirit of condemnation, you can write this down, the spirit of condemnation pretends to know you better than anyone else. The spirit of condemnation pretends to know you better than anybody, accusing you of being so bad to the bone. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 28 is the voice of accusation. You know, when accusation begins to talk to you, it brings out details and facts about you that nobody knows, because the spirit of condemnation acts like it knows you so well. So there's a story of David and his brothers when he came to the battle sent by his father. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride." This is the voice of condemnation, accusation. "I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." So condemnation acts like it knows you so personally. And a lot of times, condemnation may be factual. Condemnation may be correct. Because condemnation is describing you based on your Adamic nature. So condemnation acts like it's so one with you, so in touch with your personality. But you must learn to speak to your position, or in your position in Christ, not on your Adamic self. Now, this is different from not taking responsibility for changes. But the problem with condemnation is that it attacks the person and not the actions. So you must be able to divert the voices of condemnation. Now, David's older brother is saying, "I know the insolence of your heart, and I know your pride." Maybe David was proud. Maybe. Because can you imagine, the prophet comes and he wants to anoint all David's brothers, all the sons of Jesse, and then he speaks to Jesse, "Where are all your sons?" And the Bible says that Jesse lines up all his sons. But it's interesting how David is not a part of the lineup. So some theologians believe that David is not a legitimate son. David is an away match. Yes, you know what I mean? Why are you pretending in the house of God? So quiet everywhere. So some scholars believe that David is not same father, same mother with the other brothers. That's why when the prophet says, "Line your sons up," the Lord is about to anoint one of your sons. He doesn't call David, because Jesse himself is dealing with condemnation. He's probably feeling, "I don't want to bring my failure within the space of the anointing." So he takes David away from the legitimacy of sons he has from a legitimate marriage. And David, he lives at the backside of the desert. And as Samuel is about to pour the oil on Eliab, because Eliab looks like it, his firstborn, he has the build. In those days, when God has authorized that the oil is poured, the oil flows. But when the oil is not designed for an individual, the oil will not flow, even if the oil is turned. So the bowl can be turned, but the oil will not flow. That is a sign that this man is not the anointed. So therefore, he says to Jesse, "Do you still have another son?" And Jesse said, "Oh." He remembers that night of his condemnation, of which he's trying to hide this boy, maybe. And he says, "Oh, there's one who is at the backside of the desert." You know, God knows how to take you from the back to the front. God masters in changing the lives of people. And I've seen people's lives turn. That the one who seems to be insignificant today becomes the one people are looking at. Because the Bible talks about a kind of light that comes upon you. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light is come. And the glory of God is risen upon you. Behold, darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord will arise and his glory shall be seen over you." Hey, when God's glory is
on your life. Men will come to your light.
Oh, you don't hear? I feel like I'm talking to people
who are sleeping this morning. When God's glory comes upon you, men are not necessarily coming to you, but they are coming to your light. Did you hear what I said? And that's because the light of God is shining upon you. It says, and his glory shall be seen. Can I prophesy to someone? I feel like the spotlight of heaven is about to shine on some people. And what that means is attention is about to shift in your direction. Shift in your direction. So David comes, and therefore, David is the anointed. And everybody is standing waiting for David. They went to call David from Local Goma. And we are in Asokoro waiting for David. Everybody has to stand until David comes. Now you get it. So when you're reading the Bible, picture the Bible. So everybody's standing. Nobody's sitting down because the Lord's anointed. And who is the Lord's anointed? Our last born. But the last born shows up, and therefore God begins to talk to Samuel. This is my anointed. So now the anointing precedes the battle. And when Eliab, his first brother, sees David, he says, I know your pride. Eliab is not pride. You are just jealous. I know the insolence of your heart. Now, that is condemnation at David. Because condemnation seems to know you so well. It seems like it knows you. It acts like it knows you. But it's not you. Don't call blessed or cursed what God has blessed. And don't say a man is failing when God has said you are in victory. No. For many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers. So you don't judge a man by the current state of his affliction. So David is anointed by Samuel, and then he goes to the battle. You must be careful how you talk to your kids, because when you negatively criticize your children, you implant in them a sense of condemnation that they grow up with. You must be able to put a good balance between affirming and correcting. Because if you're overly critical to your children, or you are an overly critical person, you are carrying condemnation, spilling it out wherever you go. So don't be a critical person. When someone has a critical spirit, it's a sign that the person is dealing with condemnation. That's a critical spirit. Judgmental spirit. You can't afford to be judgmental, because the one who has the power to judge you does not even judge you. So you must be cautious about condemning. Another fact that we deal with in condemnation is condemnation gives you an unhealthy comparison from one person to another. The Bible says those who compare themselves with each other, they are not wise. They are foolish. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Hey, don't compare yourself with someone, because that is a trap into condemnation. It says, for we dare not class. I like the way it uses the word class. We dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves. It's a foolish thing to do. How can you put a measure on you by measuring somebody else? Everybody has different journeys. Where you're going is different from where someone else is going. So you can't judge where God is taking you by where someone else is going. So don't class yourself with a... Can I say this? You don't have mates. You don't have mates because everybody has a journey. I understand the sense of when we use the word my mate. I get it. But in the real sense of divine assignment and purpose, you don't have a mate. God is leading you by the hand, and he knows how he wants to order your steps. Talk to me, somebody. So those who compare themselves with themselves are foolish. Tell your neighbor, don't judge me. Condemnation ties you to the past. It makes you think of yesterday a lot. That's condemnation, especially the bad past, not the good ones. All the things you've done, all the bad things you've done, you start to figure out reasons and tire reasons why. You tell yourself, the reason why I'm going through what I'm going through is because of what I did. There are a lot of people who believe that they are afflicted because they committed a sin. It's because I didn't obey God, that's why I lost my brother. Or I lost my mom. Or God killed my child. God doesn't kill children. Or God is looking for a flower in heaven, then he took mine. You know, ignorance will make you angry with God for no reason. God doesn't kill, he gives life. Condemnation will make you think that is something you did, that is why you are where you are. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So condemnation will tie you to the past. You will keep thinking about yesterday. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9. I was in not medical school. I think I had finished medical school. I was doing my housemanship at the time in Unibend Teaching Hospital, UBTH. I think it was 2011, thereabout. And one of my colleagues, I was preaching the gospel of grace to her. She's a believer. She's a wonderful woman of God. But I was trying to show her that all our sins are forgiven and God is not counting anybody's sins against him or her. And she didn't believe it. So I kept speaking the gospel to her. And one day she came to me and said, Pastor Phil, I have a scripture for you. I said, show me the scripture. And then she opened this verse and she started to read it to me. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? She stopped and she looked at me. And she continued, do not be deceived. She stopped and she looked at me. I said, okay. Then she went on, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homo, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom. Pastor Phil, I hear you when you say all your sins are forgiven, but it says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And she closed the Bible. I said, no, open it. Open it. We have not finished. Then I said, look at the next verse. Verse 11. And such were some of you. I told her, I said, those people you called, it is for you a where. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And I told her, I said, hey, that's not you. There's a wonderful song that we all sang growing up. I said in the first service. Beautiful song. I like the first part of the song. It makes sense. But when it got to some part, he started having K legs. We fall down, but we get up. Hi! Like I said, so many people don't know this song. If you are born from 2004, upwards, you know this song. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got up. Now, the first part of the song makes sense. We fall down, correct. Because no matter how spirikoko you are, you go fall. At one point or the other, you will sin. You may have made a mistake. Since the day you got born again, you have made a mistake. Some people don't know the power of sin. When you understand the power of sin, you will thank God for the victory over sin. That if a human being could deliver himself from sin, then God will say to Jesus, don't come. Let them figure it out by themselves. But because God knows, he looks from heaven, he looks all the way to earth, and he knows that no human being can free himself from sin. He said, oh boy, Jesus, you'll go down now. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, and grace, but grace and truth came by Jesus for the purpose of the sacrifice. A body thou hast given to me for the sacrifice. I have come in the volume of the books that is written of me to do your will, O God. So God knows that nobody can be delivered from sin by self. So Jesus dies. And when he dies, everyone who puts faith in him has received the gift of righteousness. So I like the first part of the song that says, we fall down. Yes, sometimes. I mean, my little children, I write unto you that you do not sin. But if you sin, it's in the Bible. 1 John chapter 2 from verse 1. But if you sin, you have an advocate with your Father, Jesus the righteous. You have an advocate with your Father. Oh, I can preach on that. You have an advocate with your Father. Advocate, you have a lawyer with your Father. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. You have a lawyer with your dad. Who's your dad? Your dad is the judge. The lawyer is your brother. Case closed. You have won the case. Because the advocate is not with Satan. It didn't say you have an advocate with the devil. So it is not Satan presenting a lawyer against you. The lawyer is on your side with God. Who can lay a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who brings an accusation against one who is called justified? Nobody. Who goes that man? It's God who justifies. Are there justified people in this house? I'm justified. You're justified because you put faith in Christ. So I like the part of the song that says, we fall down. Yeah. But we get up. We fall down, but we get up. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down. Ah, that's where they skin leg. Why are you laughing? This black man. A saint, the song says, a saint is just a sinner. A saint is not a sinner. If a believer sins, he can't be called sinner. Yeah, because the nature has changed. What makes you call someone a sinner is because the person has the nature of a sinner. So the moment you get born again, you become a believer, no longer a sinner. That's why he says, such were some of you. So it's a believer that falls. It's not a stranger who fell. When you go to school, God forbid, but when somebody goes to school to pick his son from school, and they say his son, there are 39 children in class. His son came 38. That's why I say not you. His son came 38. Who will you carry home? As the father, you are the mom, you are the mother who came to pick your child from school. Not you, in Jesus' name. All your children will come first. But you know, a lot of our parents came first. I think that's one of the biggest scams in Nigeria. All our parents told us they came first. When I was your age, that's in... Anyway, I believe my dad. I believe my father. My father was even a teacher. He was so good that they told him to come teach a secondary school. He was that good. That's why I was also coming first. I came first a few times. Then after, there was one boy who just kept... The boy kept disturbing me. His name was Ohis. I can't forget him. Israel comes first. or I come first. He'll come first, and I was taking second a lot. But a few times, like three times, I came first. Whatever. So, a saint is not a sinner. So a lot of times, condemnation would always take you back to yesterday. You just realize that you're thinking about bad things. That's the spirit of condemnation. But we rebuke the spirit of condemnation in the name of the Lord Jesus. Condemnation will never see what is positive. It would always take you back to what is negative. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Let's see verse 10 of this same verse. Oh, hallelujah. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. The next verse. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Keep going. Now that I've already attained, I am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. You press on. You don't stay with yesterday. You press on in Christ. One mistake and your life is built on a mistake. Hey, deliver yourself. Free yourself. One failure, your whole life is on it. Next verse. Is there something there? I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. That's your life. Condemnation robs you. Another point. Condemnation robs you of your confidence towards God. Ah, yeah. This one is really true. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. It robs you of your... Yeah, a lot of times, as a pastor, I'm looking for some members. I don't see them in church again. And a lot of times, they left church, not because somebody annoyed them or someone chased them away, but they left church because they don't feel confident towards God. They feel all their sins, all the things they've done from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they repeat it next week. They don't just feel worthy to come before God. They run away. It's a sense of self-righteousness. So I don't see them for a long time. And after a while, when I get to see them, perhaps they have built a sense of confidence by self-righteousness, and they show up again. That's what condemnation does. It drives you away from God. People run away from church because of condemnation. People don't pray today because of condemnation. People don't even study their Bible because of condemnation. Some of them even tell themselves, so what are you feeling like now? What are you forming like now? In fact, one of the most prominent voices is, who are you deceiving? And it just keeps playing in your head. Maybe you take your bath, you want to come to church, and then everyone is lifting up holy hands. You want to lift up holy hands like others. And something tells you, so who are you deceiving now? Condemnation. Condemnation. Moses came before God, and he saw the burning bush as he was approaching. The Bible says that God said, before God says, remove your sandals, for where you stand is a holy ground, God said, stop! Don't come near. Then Moses stops. And he says, take off your shoes, for where you are standing is a holy ground. God tells Moses, don't come near. But you know, God tells us opposite. God tells us, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may obtain grace and find help in the time. Ooh. He says, be bold about it. When Jesus died, the veil was torn from top to bottom. Let's say it's as high as this thing. So when he says from top to bottom, it's clear to all of us that it was not a human being that did it. And the veil is not this thing that even Tasha can tear. Tasha is Pastor Victor's brilliant daughter. The veil is a thick material. It's a thick cloth that separates the very Shekinah glory of God from where the priest is having stop. From where the priest is having their duties regularly on a daily basis. But by the time Jesus dies, there's an earthquake, there's an eclipse. Something happens in the temple, veil tears. And when it opens, it says, come boldly. Come as you are, because when you come as you are, the grace of God won't leave you as you are. Condemnation. So people run away because of condemnation. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. For if our heart, have you seen the scripture before? For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts. God know past you. So don't let your heart condemn you. And he knows all things. Next verse. Says if your heart judges you, God is bigger than it. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Now, this confidence towards God is a you factor, not a God problem. It's about you now. So the reason why you must not allow condemnation is because it will affect your confidence towards God. Meanwhile, God already has a position with you. He says, come. For God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses on them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So he says, go tell everybody all your sins are forgiven. Let me tell you why a lot of people who are in sin, who don't want to come to Christ, come to church, is because they've never heard the gospel. That's why they're not coming to church. That's why they're not born again yet. Because the gospel was never preached to them. What we preach to them is stop smoking. Stop smoking is not the gospel. Drop that boyfriend is not the gospel. And I'm not saying it's good to have the boyfriend when you're doing wrong stuff or to do bad stuff. I'm not saying it's good. But that is not the gospel. The gospel is God is not angry with you. Your sins are forgiven. And if you put faith in Jesus and believe he died for your sins, you are free. That is the gospel. Now, when the prostitute on the road hears that, because she thinks in her mind that God no go accept me, all these things I go need to stop all these things where they do before I go come that to your church. Condemnation. She doesn't know that forgiveness was given to her already. That God has forgiven her already. She doesn't know. So that is why you and I need to go there and tell her, hey, my sister, I don't care if you have 7 children out of wedlock. You have a husband who is Christ that will never abandon you. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Even all the men who walked out of your life and you are left with your mistakes and your children as constant reminder of your failure, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. A lot of people have never heard the gospel, and that's the problem. Condemnation takes you to yesterday, takes you to your past. Are we going to do things wrong? Yes, we will. We will make mistakes. But let me speak to you now as believers, because I've also found out that teaching the grace of God, it has left some of us a position of arrogance. It leaves you with a cocky attitude because all your sins are forgiven. And there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So we stay cocky and we wallow in sin because we say all our sins are forgiven. That's not the attitude of grace. No. Because the way you respond to love is love. Firstly, so there is a difference between conviction and condemnation. Conviction is from God. Condemnation is from Satan. The two of them might look alike initially. Because when you do, not when. I don't want to use the word when because I don't expect you to. But if you make a mistake or if you sin, you should be convicted. If you are happy after you sin, you are not well. Or you are not born again. If you tell yourself, nah, no man, we they do and we they run them, no man. And you are a believing child of God, you are born again. What you are indirectly saying to me is that I am doubting your salvation. Because to a believer, there is what you call conflict that must be in his spirit. So no matter how you try to justify what you're doing, something inside of you will tell you, oh boy, this thing you are doing, you go stop him. So conviction, both of them come with grief. Both of them come with sorrow. But they are different. But they look alike at the initial stage. So let's go into conviction and condemnation. What is the difference? There are people who, I'm going to show you examples in the Bible. All right? Now, the similarity is that they're both griefs. Conviction brings a godly grief or a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. That's conviction. While condemnation produces a worldly sorrow that leads to death. What is the difference? The difference between condemnation and conviction. I'm going to say three things. For condemnation, it is hazy, H-Z-Y. It's hazy, it's vague, it's not clear. That's for condemnation. It is hateful, it is hopeless. It is hazy, it is hateful, it is hopeless. Let's talk about hazy. Condemnation is never specific. It has a hanging, overarching sense of there is something wrong with me. So what condemnation is saying is I have a problem. It attacks your position in God. It attacks your person. That's condemnation. So a condemned person will be saying, something is wrong with me. That's the voice of condemnation. That's how you know someone is ruled by the spirit of condemnation. Sometimes you can't even place your finger around it to say, oh, this is what the issue is. You are feeling depressed. You're feeling sad. You're not doing the right things. You can't come out of it. You don't even know what the issue is. You are telling yourself, something is wrong with me. That's condemnation. So it's hazy. It's never clear. And the second thing about condemnation is it is hateful because Satan hates you. So he's going to drive a wedge between you and God. And the only way he can do that is condemnation. But hear this. As hate comes to you through Satan, it is the same way hate will flow from you. So a lot of people who are ruled by the spirit of condemnation are hateful people. Always hating people. Always hating people. When you see someone who can't help but hate, low-key, that person is dealing with condemnation. Sometimes condemnation may not even show up in feeling sorry, but condemnation will show up in hatred, outright hatred. That's how you know this person is condemnation. And another thing is condemnation is hopeless because it doesn't show you a way out. It tells you you can never be better. You can never change. For the rest of your life, you are stuck. This is where you are. But there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What about conviction? Conviction is different. So I talked about three things with condemnation. It is hazy. It is hateful. It is hopeless. Conviction is different. It is the opposite of the three. What's the opposite of hazy? Specific. So conviction is high definition clarity. That's conviction. Conviction does not say something is wrong with me. Conviction addresses the issue. For example, in your spirit, you will know that there is something you have to do. I gave an example in the first service, and I give it again. It probably tells you, you see this WhatsApp group, you need to get out of this WhatsApp group. It's clear. It is not connecting a mistake with your person. It knows how to separate the issue, and you are still standing as one who sees himself in Christ. Are you with me? Condemnation says, there is a content on Netflix I want to stop watching because the sexual content is high. So it's clear. Or I'm going to delete some apps on my phone. Or you watch how you talk to your mom. It's clear. Do you understand what I'm saying? Condemnation is not specific. Condemnation will say, this one. Oh, for example, you don't get a job. You go for the interview and they don't take you. All of a sudden, you start to connect things that you have. You say, I know why. Nami no. I know why. The reason is because I remember that day they told me that there's a way I talk. I know that's the reason why. I know. And you get people where they worry me for my village. Now, sometimes when you hear the reasons people give for what happens, you wonder from where to where. And what you need to understand is sometimes you may just need to take things as they are. It's not always it is Satan. It is not always Satan who is against you, or somebody is against you, somebody they are pursuing you, or this, or someone said this, or someone. Conviction is clear. Stop treating your child like this. Simple. Don't insult your wife in the public. And you tell, Koboko time. Holy Ghost is giving you Koboko time. You do. Lord, I receive in Jesus' name. I won't insult my wife. And then you talk to yourself and you deal with the issue. But it doesn't connect that with, you see, you are a failure in life. I'm telling you this because, you see, depression, the way it works like a link. Now, one event can take someone through a spiral of depression that the person begins to account or recount many incidents in his or her lives that is speaking towards negativity, and you are wondering where this is coming from. That's condemnation. But conviction is clear. Number two about conviction. We said condemnation is hateful. Conviction is loving. Conviction loves. God chastises those he loves. When God is disciplining you, you will feel sad, though, but not condemned. And it is whom he loves, he chastises. And lastly, conviction is hopeful. Conviction says, which is the grace of God, you can be better. You are not obligated to remain like this. You can change. You can improve. See yourself the way Christ sees you and begin to take the steps of the righteous. For the path of the just is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. I'll show you a scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 9. Paul wrote a letter to the Corinthian church, and he said to them, this letter I'm writing to you brought hurt to you. But at first I was worried about the letter, but now I'm happy because the news I have gotten from Titus shows me that you received my letter, so it gives me comfort. So it says, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow, so there is a sorrow, which is conviction that I'm talking about. There is a sorrow which leads to repentance, for you were made sorry in a godly manner. So there is a godly sorrow. Are you with me, somebody? There is a godly sorrow that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. Next verse. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. not to be regretted, but sorrow of the world produces death. So there are two kinds of sorrow. The sorrow of the world is condemnation, but the sorrow that is godly is conviction. But listen to me, sorrow, whether it is godly, does not mean repentance. Think with me. Sorrow leads to repentance. Sorrow is not always repentance. I've seen people who have come to me and they cry, "Pastor Phil, I'm so sorry." They never change, you. No. So it's not all the time someone is sorrowful that he changes. Do you know what repentance is? Repentance is spelt as C-H-A-N-G-E. Change. If someone says, "I repent," it means I am changing. If you are not changing, you did not repent. You only felt the emotions of another person's hurt. Not repentance. So sometimes sorrow is not automatically repentance, but sorrow that you are sad doesn't mean that you've repented. A lot of people will come to church and when they hear Pastor Phil preach, "Oh my God, I'm my only Savior. I will never leave you. In fact, I've made up my mind. Everything that is stopping me from serving God, I will, when I go home, in fact, I know who to start calling." By the time they leave this door, fear, everything don't fly. So you know what was happening to them? Emotions. Piano that Paul is playing now. Paul, play some more. Let them feel the anointing. People cry in church because of this thing, not because of the Holy Ghost. Like, Paul, play some things now. And I talk, I begin to say, "All things are working together for your good." As I'm talking, I can make you emotional, I can make you tearful. And I'm not saying the Holy Spirit can't work with it, because the Holy Spirit sometimes works with the minstrel, with the anointed. The prophet was about to prophesy, and he says, "Bring me the minstrel," because there's something it aids. I get that part. But a lot of people are just emotional, and when you think they are repenting, they are not. All they are doing is just being emotional about things. And when they go back, they are going back to their same vomit. But conviction is different. Conviction comes with the power of the Holy Spirit. For God is at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's different. So it says, for godly sorrow. So if you do something that is wrong, don't be happy and say, "All my sins are forgiven," or "There is therefore now no condemnation." If you are not sad, which is godly sorrow, there should be a conflict within you to say, "Hey, this thing I'm doing is truly not good." Acknowledge it first. Then when you have acknowledged it, you receive grace to help you deal with it. So that's the difference between conviction and condemnation. There's somebody in the Bible, in fact, two people in the Bible. There were two guys in the Bible who betrayed Jesus. It wasn't just Judas. Peter betrayed him. But one had condemnation. The other had conviction. Oof. See, when Jesus said, "Somebody here is going to betray me," the other said, "Master, is it I?" The other said, "Master, is it me?" So no. But some will be. The one man now spoke out of turn and says, "Even if the world falls down, I will never betray you." Oga Peter. And Jesus said, "Before the cock will cry out in the morning two times, you're going to betray me." And he betrays Jesus in the presence of, by a little girl. To rubbish Peter, he doesn't use a soldier. He uses Tasha. Tasha has seen something in my hand today. Just a little girl shows up. I say, "You, I saw you with Jesus now." Peter with his muscle, "Me? No." Small girl. Fell Peter's hand. Small girl. Not my Peter. If you look at Judas, now you'll find out that Judas sold Jesus, all right, with pieces of silver. But do you know that Judas actually, in quote, repented? He took the silver and went back to them and threw it at them. He couldn't take the condemnation. So what was doing Judas is not conviction, condemnation. So he was sorry about what he did. Yes, Judas was sorry. He was actually sorry. But he did not go to Jesus. Ayadabakata. Condemnation will make you go to yourself rather than go to Christ. So the mistake Judas made was go to the person you offended. Meanwhile, he's trying to deal with things by himself. I have made you too small in my life, oh Lord. Then you now tell yourself, let me go and fix myself, then appear before God. Huh? You better come the way you are. Let him fix you by himself. Stop running away from him. Stop. Stop running away from him. Go to your father. The way other people are praying, say, Heavenly Father. You too pray, Heavenly Father. And he's committed to hear your voice. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So Judas goes, and out of the guilt, the weight of the shame, someone defines guilt and shame differently. Someone says shame is feeling bad about yourself, but guilt is feeling condemned about what you've done. Two different things. So people can feel guilt, some can feel shame. And many times, shame is what is exclusive to just only you, because how you see yourself may not be how other people are seeing you. You must change to see, change, and try to see yourself the way God sees you. If God doesn't call me barren, I don't call myself barren. If God doesn't call me fruitless, I don't call myself fruitless. If God calls me blessed, I call myself blessed. If God calls me victorious, I call myself victorious. If God calls me helped, I call myself I am helped. If God calls me prosperous, I am prosperous. If God calls me favored, I am favored. Don't call yourself what God did not call you. Leave the shame alone. Leave the guilt alone. Leave the condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So stop behaving as one. You are aiding the ministry of Satan, because the accuser of our brethren has been cast down. The next verse in that revelation says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So one of the ways you deal with condemnation is by words. You talk. Something tells you, so who are you deceiving now? You say, I'm the accepted of God. Oh, now all of a sudden you want to run to God now, but all the while you were trying to do stuff, you went to meet this person, you went to meet Babalawo. You went to meet, you cursed God, you were angry with God. Now you want to come back. Come back. Come back. Because he will never turn you back. In fact, instead of turning you back, he will be the one running to you. He's the one chasing after you. There's no condemnation. See, my friend, if you fall today and you come back to God, he will take you back. In the evening, if you fall again, you come back in the evening, he will take you back. God is not like our dads. God is not like an earthly father. I don't know if you have a father who is not a true picture of God. I'm sorry if you do, but don't see God like your earthly father. God is, he would embrace you. He says, you've been accepted in the beloved. That's God. God is not like your husband. God is not like your brother. God is God. God is God. And by the words of your testimony. So when those thoughts begin to come, be talking. Don't leave it innocent. It's not innocent. condemnation words are never innocent. Because at the end of the day, just like Judas, now die. Judas, nobody killed Judas. He killed himself. Condemnation makes you kill yourself. And it may not be literally like a physical death, but you condemn yourself. You tell yourself, I can never be any good. Now, there are people who are in TSP, hearing the word of grace, and sometimes still battle with condemnation. How much more when you are hearing law? What Pastor Paul spoke Igbo just now. I want to hear that Igbo he said. Well, Pastor Paul, what did you say?
Okwagula.
What does that mean? Okwagula. He don't finish. Even under grace, some people are still feeling condemned. Now, if Judas Iscariot, who was in the school of Jesus, felt condemned, Pastor, don't feel bad that some members feel condemned. Just keep teaching. One day they will catch it. But I want you to lift yourself from condemnation today. If you are sitting in condemnation, it will never make you do anything good. Now, finally, the essence of condemnation is to immobilize you. The purpose of condemnation is to make sure you don't take a step further. But when you see someone who says, I'm fit for use, regardless of what I've done, the spirit of condemnation is not on that person. So, conviction, grace, makes you fit for use. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. God does not call those who look like it. He calls those who don't look like it. So, don't look at somebody and write off anybody. I beg you. Because in 5 years, it will shock many of you. See, there are some of you who will, people have been laughing at you. I don't know who I'm talking to. People are constantly mocking you. But do you know there's a way God will elevate your status? Nothing can be funny. Nobody will be able to laugh when they look at you. Everybody will acknowledge, Kai, oh boy, God don't bless that guy. Moku talk true. God has blessed this woman. God has blessed you. And when the Lord turns the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. For the Lord has done great things in my life. There is no condemnation. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Don't let any devil lie at you and on you that you can't be anything or you can't do any good. That's a lie from the devil. Give a neighbor a high five and say, get out of condemnation. There are some people who are sitting on the well of condemnation. You need to find yourself out. Whew, God is taking you out of depression, out of anxiety, out of fear, out of laid backness, because he says, keep moving, my son. The path of the just is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter to the perfect day. You can do it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I came as a voice from heaven to tell you those things God told you about that you have given up on. You can do it. Hey, light has to come today. You need to see yourself on top. You need to see yourself above. You need to see yourself as blessed. You are favored. You are the healed. You are the wonder of our generation. I and they that the Lord has given to me, we are made for signs and wonders. For they who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. In 2024, watch out for exploits. Watch out for goodness. Watch out for his mercies. Watch out for his glory that is resting on my life. And in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of condemnation. I rebuke the spirit of depression. I rebuke the spirit of fear. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. My mind is sound. My heart is stable. I can do all things in Christ. I am the blessed of God. I walk in liberty. Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made you free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Fear is not in my side, it's not in my heart. Failure is not in my bloodline. Anxiety is not in my bloodline. Hypertension cannot come to me. Depression cannot come to me. I am the blessed of God. Who knows? He is blessed in this house. If you are blessed, lift your voice and shout it. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Look for three people and give them a high five and tell them, you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed. You're the blessed of God. You're the favored of God. You are righteous. You are holy. There is no sin on your record. All your sins are forgiven. You are anointed. You are forgiven. I am blessed. Come on, shout it. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am favored. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Wave your hands, shout hallelujah. When the enemy comes, hey, the Bible says when the enemy comes, the way we read that scripture is when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against the enemy. That's how we read it. But that's not truly the way it is. It says when the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift a standard. Because flooding, flooding is the technique of God to wash away things. He did that with Noah. He did that with the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus floods my sins. So when Satan shows up like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. I'm raising a standard of victory in your life. And I'm pronouncing the banner of victory is lifted in your life. Your hands will do great things. There is a door that is open before you. A door that nobody can shut. I command you in the name of Jesus, enter into new doors now. Enter into open doors now. Enter into opportunities now. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Someone comes to meet. They come to meet Paul. They say, Paul, we've got a proposal for you. We want you to do something. And the first thing that comes to your mind is, I can't. You know why? It's a thinking pattern of condemnation. You don't see yourself fit for productivity. Stop it in Jesus' name. See, whenever you see opportunities, just know that God can work all things in you. Seek the path of development and progress. Begin to build yourself knowing that God can walk even this one through me. I may not have studied in that line or in that regard. I may not have experience in that regard. But as long as the opportunity came my way, who greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? I can do it. Come on, shout it with me. I can do it. Look at your neighbor, say, you can do it. Shout at your neighbor, say, you can do it. Tell yourself, I can do it. No condemnation. Let believers arise. Let the children and the sons of God arise and take their place. Just because you fell doesn't mean you cannot preach the gospel. Just because you have a child out of wedlock does not mean you cannot speak the gospel of Jesus. No. Who has believed our report? It is a report. Your job is to announce the report. The story is not your story. You are telling somebody else's story. And guess what? God has qualified you to tell his story. So you are qualified. You are accepted. Go about, tell people God loves them. It doesn't matter. We have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power is of God and not of us. As a pastor, I'm dealing, I know there's a call of God upon my life. but I'm dealing with something. By the time I'm done, you will see me. Condemnation. Pastor, I know this is what God wants me to do, but there are so many issues. I need to fix my family. Condemnation. Pastor, I know God. I know what God wants me to do. It's just that you see myself. There are some things that I need to deal with. Condemnation. What did Jesus say to the woman? Where are those who accuse you? Hey, they brought the woman to Jesus and they said, according to the law of Moses, if she's caught in the act of adultery, condemnation is never fair. Never, never, never. Because the problem is, where was the man? They left the man aside. They focused only on the woman. And they brought the woman to Jesus. Says, this is what the law of Moses says. And in the law, you stoned this woman to death. And Jesus was just writing on the floor. Maybe he was writing a new law. Who knows? And he was just writing. And he said while he was writing, if any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw the stone. The Bible says from the Egbon, the oldest to the youngest, they all left. Why the oldest to the youngest? Because the oldest has more sin than the younger. In terms of sinning experience, by virtue of his age, he has more sin. So that one has already thought up until 1974. And then he walked away. And the young gents, the Gen Zs, eventually followed. The millennials followed. Then the Gen Zs followed. And when Jesus lifted up his head, he saw the woman. Nobody was standing there, only the woman. He says, where are those who accuse you? She said, there is no man. But Jesus said, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. The power to go and sin no more is neither do I condemn you. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. The power to go and sin no more is in neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Listen to me. Go and do that ministry. Go and be all that God wants you to be. Go do that business. Go pray to your father and ask for wisdom. He will not upbraid you. Go ask for help. He will not deny you. Go and sin no more. So God says, I give to all of you help, redemption in Christ, that you neither stand condemned. You're irrevocably blessed. You're without reproach. You are unblameable in my sight. You are justified. You are blood washed. Because of that, on that grounds, you can do all things. So don't let condemnation stop you. Say, Pastor, I have healed. Nah, the only proof I know you have healed is when you are functioning. Not healing isolatedly and you are by yourself. You say, I've healed. No. Is when you are in function, when you are in purpose. That's my proof that you have healed, really. Are you delivered from your past? My question is, are you serving? If you're not serving, then you are not free yet. No matter what you tell me. If you're not giving out, if something is not coming out of you, then you are not delivered. You may have another word or another phrase to put it, or excuse to hide behind, but you're not free. Condemned. And guess what? Even the mature believers fall for this. Or those who seem to be mature fall for this. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to break in this house 12, 20, 10, 5 years of the work of condemnation that has immobilized people from being all they can be. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today and I decree and declare that no one who has heard the sound of my voice is immobilized or kept bound by the power and the spell of condemnation. I release you to freedom now. I release you to liberty now. Go and bear fruits, and your fruits will remain.
And your fruit will bring joy and glory to your generation, to your family, to you, to the Lord. Now, if you know you are the one I'm talking about, clap those hands. Come on, shout to God with the voice of triumph. Oh, that's not a shout. Make it a shout. Lift up a shout before the Lord.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.